sir.
Of course it was, Skeets.
Say cheese, Junior.
Doug, cheese.
Life lesson remember, kid. Always keep yourself open to the cameras.
Who are you?
I'm sure you're all wondering who I am. Well, how about the 411? I'm pure gold, ladies and gentlemen. I am Booster Gold, the greatest hero you've never heard of. Till now!
Ah, yes. Welcome to the New 52 Review Podcast, the official New 52 Review Podcast of the Weird Science DC Comics Podcast. Eric, how are you doing?
Don't ask me questions like that.
You love that Booster Gold, don't you?
I do love me some Booster Gold.
I just played that was especially for you. That was from the Smallville series you told me. You got to grab some of that. So I did grab that to start us off because really this is the Justice League International Volume 1, the first volume of the Justice League International from the New 52. And really, this series is it's a spotlight for Booster Gold. It's weird, too. Obviously, we've read this, but reading it, Booster, it's weird they didn't give Booster a main title, right? When the New 52 started, he's a popular enough guy. And some of the other choices that they went with characters, say Grifter, or Voodoo, or freaking GI, you know, Comet, things like that, Men at War, are very odd choices when you had, say, a Booster. And even so, thinking about it even now, people are begging for like a Shazam book.
We still haven't got a Shazam book.
And you didn't get one of those either. But yeah, Booster, this is his book. This is supposed to show you a Booster that, to me, matures a little, is a little less self-centered. They're really trying to push that. But it is a team book, obviously, and it is Justice League International. And just for a little bit of a background, Justice League International, or JLI for short, Eric, I know that you love to say your JLI, is a DC Comics super team written by and created by Keith Giffen and J.M.D. Mateus. Originally, it had art by Kevin Maguire when it was created in 1987. And the thing about this was the reboot, obviously, of the New 52. There weren't a lot of iterations of quote-unquote Justice League International, but one of them that seems to be kind of a favorite, or was at the time, was the series right before the New 52. And the JLI had kind of disappeared for about 7 years. They had a mini series in between, but in 2003, but then 7 years later, they came out with this Justice League Generation Lost series that was written again by Keith Giffen, but also Judd Wynick. And what it was alternating. It was twice a month for a year, alternating with Brightest Day. To me, that's kind of makes it kind of important. You know what I mean? Like 1 week, Brightest Day would come out, the Geoff Johns deal, and then the next week, the Justice League Generation Lost would come out. So it was a big deal, and people really, really did like it. And it was a team featuring Captain Atom, Booster Gold, the new Blue Beetle, Jaime Reyes. So there's your boy.
Yeah.
Your boy, Fire, Ice, and Rocket Red. So you have a couple people from the team in that. And when it ended a couple months before the New 52 started, and it ended with a teaser for the new Justice League International series that would be coming with Booster Gold, which is kind of an odd deal since it was a reboot, but they did have a bit of a teaser. And looking at reviews, that Justice League International, this volume, debuted on September 7th, 2011, so it was one of the first couple weeks of the New 52. And looking at the reviews, there are legitimately a couple reviews that basically spend the whole time bitching and moaning that Generation Lost ended, and we got this piece of shit book. But going forward, it did get middle of the road reviews. This book was not reviewed great. I'll tell you right now. And the issues we're going to do, this volume did, it's issue 1-6. And that really is the best reviewed of them. They really tank after that, and people seem to have bailed. And me and you had read these, and I realized when I was reading this to get ready for this, I don't think I finished this first arc. Did you? You said you read the whole series.
I read the entire series, but while reading this bit, I remember I had problems getting through this first arc. The Signal Men were not doing it for me. Later on, I found myself enjoying it more, and even my favorite part of the series is the final issue with the JLI annual.
Yeah, and just spoiler alert, Eric, this was canceled very quickly. Yes. There were not a lot of issues. It went through two trades before it was canceled and then ended with an annual is what it basically did. So it ended up had 12 issues and an annual that ended it all. And really, from here, you got Booster Gold that just kept popping up throughout the New 52 in events and special books. And it was from this series, all leading from that annual going forward. But yes, I'll just start this properly. This is the Justice League International Volume 1, The Signal Masters. And mainly written by, all of them were written by Dan Jurgens here. Art by Aaron Lopresti, Matt Ryan, Hi-Fi, and Travis Lanham. There is an epilogue issue, issue number 6, that the art team did change. But this is the official synopsis solicit for this volume that DC had. And this title collecting the first 6 issues of the DC Comics New 52 series, the United Nations brings together Batman, Booster Gold, Green Lantern, Guy Gardner, August General and Iron, Fire, Ice, Vixen, and Rocket Red to form a new group called Justice League International. With the growing presence of super beings around the world, the JLI are charged with promoting unity and trust. But can they discover the mystery behind the giant alien signal men who are appearing all over the globe without killing each other first? And yes. I'll tell you right away, when this opens up, and if you're going to read this along with us or you're going to check it out, if you're reading the JLA right now by Steve Orlando, it has that same vibe. It's the vibe of a team for the common man, a team that – now, it really goes with the whole thing, a team without secret identities.
Exactly.
Everything's in the open.
Doors and shit like that.
I don't know that Rocket Red is fully – I guess he does his identities out. Still, though, it even says the whole thing of like, this is a team without masks. Like, that's another thing they push. But it is supposed to be an open team that is lets the people kind of relax and know that they're being taken care of by people that they're accountable for. And the whole thing when it starts is the Justice League itself, you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and the whole team, they are by themselves. They have no accountability. They're independent, and that's what this team is. And it does start out with the UN, head of the UN security. I'm doing this, and I can't even remember his name. Briggs. Andre Briggs. He is getting this together, and he's asking the UN, you know, if they can do it. He's trying to assemble this team to go forward. The problem is Dan Jurgens does a decent job here of letting you know that this is not the first time. This has been done before. They've tried to do this, have a UN-sponsored Justice League. The people around the world, the UN people from around, they don't want any parts of it. Now, the thing that this Briggs does, though, is kind of present a team. He throws all of them bones. You know what I mean? Like, you have the British UN ambassador, and they throw Godiva there. So they can know, all right, a Brit on the team, I'm in. Yeah, and you have, August General and Iron. You have the Chinese delegate. Okay, you have Rocket Red. Okay, the Russians are in. And he is setting it up like this. But it's funny at the beginning, and it's one of the things that we actually had remembered the most going from this whole series, besides that ending, was where they're trying to get the team together. And they're mentioning things. And the first guy's Booster Gold. And they say, listen, Booster Gold, he's a PR dream that the people love him. He's a sponsor of things. He's going to be the leader. And also really spell out, they can control him. That's the main thing about it. He has great Q rating, Eric, the Q rating. Knows PR craves attention and a leader I can control, says Briggs. And they're like, fair enough. They're in with him. They're okay. The next one, though, is the best, Plastic Man. And the Russian right away is, no, how you say, too wacko? It made me laugh so much.
It's weird to throw him out right away like this because, you know, while the Justice League book did take place 5 years before this volume one with the origins, this takes place in the current continuity of every other book that came out. So it's 5 years after the invasion of Darkseid.
Yep.
But going forward, we never see Plastic Man again until we see his origin in Forever Evil, which we've never even seen anything after that.
And
so
again,
it's weird.
It's so thrown in here. And now the whole thing wraparound deal is this Briggs has already assembled his team. He's already contacted who he ends up having the team. So I'm telling you, the second Plastic Man is thrown in there only to be rejected. So when he's bringing it out, you're going to have some rejections. So he's setting it up. I mean, Plastic Man, it's a full-out patsy setup for him to be denied so they can move on and make the UN feel like they're important. You know what I mean? If you just throw out five guys or girls and they're like, okay, it then seems like Briggs has, you know, oh, this Briggs, what the hell's he doing? He didn't even let us, you know. But they do set – I think that's a complete setup. But then it goes to
ICE. It's weird, though, because, like, the only ones that they set up to freaking fail were Plastic Man and Blue Beetle. One because Plastic Man is too wacky and Blue Beetle because he's a rookie.
And the other one is Green Arrow, but I don't know that that was a setup. Right. But, yeah, they have Plastic Man. Then they show ICE. And it's one of those, oh, she'll be popular with the Scandinavians. Everything's set up so that it is an international team that, quite frankly, that in the new deal with the JLA with Steve Orlando, that's one of the things, just calling it Just League of America, I don't know why he didn't go with Just League International because it would have been kind of like that. But like that team, you get Vixen in here. They say, yep, she's in. You get Fire. And it's funny to me, too, as you go, and you're talking about Plastic Man being a wacko. I don't know about Fire. If I was part of the UN, I don't know that I'd go with her. I know that she's a standard Just League International, but I'm just saying, if I'm part of the UN, just seems a little off with her. But yeah, that she's
the Brazilian
in.
Delegation. The thing I know. All happy
the
about
Brazilian. Brazil. Eric, the only thing that's good down there are freaking trannies. I don't know that from experience. That's what I was told.
No, I've told you over and over again.
No, you have? Yeah. My one friend went on a vacation to Brazil. He was actually going down to learn Gracie Jiu-Jitsu or whatever. And I don't know. He seems to, I don't know what he was doing down there. But the next one is Green Arrow. And they say, no, we can't have him. He's likely to cross the line.
And it's weird, though, because they talk about it. He's a weapons expert and a JL contact. I'm like, I really don't know him to be a Justice League contact.
Yeah,
because when you see him, and I think it was Justice League number 7, they downright refuse his freaking admittance into the Justice League.
They turn him down. So is this just the joke of him always being turned down? But it's weird because I actually thought, when I look back, going back to this, thinking, oh yeah, they turned down Green Arrow because he was too close to maybe, like he knew a Batman or something like that. But the crossing the line seems very odd with Green Arrow. Now we're going to go forward after, you know, eventually we'll get to the beginning of the Green Arrow, volume 1 of Green Arrow. And I can't remember, because you read that more, the first volume. I don't remember him being like over the top.
Neither do
like
I.
Like a killer. And maybe, it's been a long time, maybe though. That goes with that, though. Maybe that's the case. But then they throw out Rocket Red. And of course, Russian delegate's huge. And he's, you know, da. You know, and he's in. And then you throw in Zifu Fang, who is August General and Iron. And that's a huge one, too. China's huge. So they're like, yep, we're in there. And then they say you have to have a Green Lantern. And they pick Guy Gardner, who, again, is a Justice League International staple.
Yeah.
They throw out Blue Beetle, and they're like, no. And it's Jaime Reyes. And nope, he's a rookie. No rookies, which is odd to me. It's an odd reason why they don't want him. I could say my thing, I would have been like, he's a little weird, too. You know what I mean? He's got alien tech. Fuck that. And also, he has a secret identity. So it's an odd call out there. But then
maybe that's why they just threw him out like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but they're like, too, no rookies.
I'm telling you, if you would have put Blue Beetle in this, like just being a guy, say this was real, and we're putting together a team.
Yeah.
And we say, you know what, Blue Beetle, he could be a powerhouse. Let's throw him in.
Yeah.
His suit would react so negatively to the Green Lantern, like it would just cause destruction all the time.
Yeah, it would have been crazy.
So
but
it's
again,
a good thing they didn't put him in.
They do set this up. And again, I'll keep mentioning the JLA with Steve Orlando, that he wanted to have this powder keg of a team. That would actually be more interesting as well, because he would have been reacting to the Green Lantern. But you have, then they say Batman. What the hell? Is this another one that you think that they throw out, that Briggs is just throwing out so that they could say no? Because why would you throw Batman in the mix? You've already said you're setting up a new team.
And even that, he's the one that the people of the, like, you know, back when the Justice League formed was the one that they trust the least, it seemed.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't even at that press conference. He was at that press conference, I believe.
But it's like, just weird here.
He was the vigilante that everybody was after and didn't even trust. Like, the other ones, you know, they at least had, like, almost like a public face. They didn't work in the shadows. shadows.
Not so not having Batman. Batman here is not weird. Batman, but yeah, they say no. No way we can control him. Also, I have a feeling they'd be like, no, he's going to – he'd take control right from Booster Gold if it was the case. And then the last one's Godiva, Dora Lee. And they said, yep, the Brits are in because of her, and we're going forward with that team. And it's an okay team. I mean, really, this book is going to – you know,
don't the Brits
succeed?
Have anything better to offer?
I know, than Godiva. I'm telling you, where's a freaking, what's it, Canterbury Cricket? Can't we get him
there
back?
You go.
the whole thing is that the book is going to die or live based on the team. It is interesting enough. You have Booster, you have Guy Gardner, you have a couple big ones, but even going forward, it's like, boy, Rocket Red, you like August General and Iron, but he's not a very dynamic character.
Not
but it really is set up so that you have some pre-made tension between a lot of the guys. But they agree. They agree finally, and they say,
and just
you know,
the tension between their nations is what really sets up a lot of it.
Yeah, and it's good. And that it also offers Booster a way to kind of go with that, which I did like later on.
Oh, going on with this too, it's actually a very interesting thing that actually bothered me for some reason, just because the idea of changing characters bothers me for no real reason.
Yeah.
But because this is the Justice League International, when we got into the New 52, Booster, his entire lifespan, career, whatever you want to call it, he was always from Gotham. But now, since we're doing the Justice League International, he was becoming the leader. They have now changed his origin that he is Canadian.
Yeah, and you don't like the Canadians. You
the
told
Canucks,
me at one
man.
Point.
Come on now,
Captain Canuck. I know that they don't really stress it here.
No, they don't.
But yeah, they're going forward. They agree with it, and basically, Briggs just knows if they fail. He fails. He's done. So he's got a lot riding on this. Now, in the meantime, you then go and see kind of why they're getting this thing together. There's a lot of protests, but the thing is, they decided to use the Hall of Justice for their setup. That's where their base is going to be. And it's weird to me because it's very forced. Like, all of a sudden, they're just like, okay, we're going to use the Hall of Justice, and it is. It's the classic Hall of Justice. There's protesters. We want our building
weird.
Back.
Have we seen the Hall of Justice
no.
any other time besides
well,
for this?
Because now, I think that they never rebuild it, because when we see it, it gets blown up a couple times, I
I'm
think.
Saying, but, it's just odd having this whole thing where we had the Justice League book 5 years before, and then we jump 5 years ahead for every other book, and all of a sudden there's just a Hall of Justice
and
belongs to the people, and there's no real talk about
and the
Hall
thing
of
about,
Justice.
Yeah, well, the thing about that is it's like all of a sudden it's there, and you're wondering, like, when was it part of the people? And so it's a little bit forced, but it does go into this whole thing where people are upset about heroes, and even the UN in general, it seems like they're against. But then we go off to Peru, and they have a team, a surveying team of scientists, and they're there, there's seismic activity, they're trying to find out what's going on, and all of a sudden, disaster hits, a big hole opens, they fall in. And that's where we're going to get our whole thing, where the team has to go and find out. In the meantime, they have a bit of a, you know, welcome party. Booster shows up. He's like, hey, he thinks he's part of the Justice League, which is pretty
Superman?
Funny. Yeah, he's like, where's Superman? Wonder Woman in there? But no, it's not that thing. But people do seem to be kind of cool with him showing up. I mean, you have these protesters, but even them, they're like, hey, Booster Gold, the guy from the beer ads, and they're going on.
Is that a Green Lantern? No.
No, but they have the whole thing. They're still going with the Hall belonging to the people, and Briggs has obviously not set up exactly what they're going to be about, because Booster thinks he's part of the Justice League.
Even with the people protesting outside, because we don't have a real understanding what's going on in the Hall of Justice of this universe, what are the people using the Hall for? I mean, why
That's
are
what
they
I'm
so
wondering.
Opposed to this whole idea that the UN is taking the building for
anything,
a team of superheroes?
Do you think it would be a museum? Do you think
Possibly?
It would be a – it was – it's just weird because it is – I mean, legitimately, it is the classic Hall of Justice.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like you get the idea that in the – like you said, it's weird because this is a reboot. So you can't say, oh, that's where – I don't – you would guess the Justice League were there at some point, but you can't really say that because you don't know. And it is weird of them yelling to take it back and protesting. But that protest started quick. But Booster's trying to – like, he's not going to ignore the people. He's kind of being this guy in the front. Well, you get these two pieces of shit that are basically like, you know what? That the Hall of Justice, UN took it over. That's ours. It's our symbol. You know,
if
we're going to –
we can't have it.
Yeah,
nobody
and we
can.
Can't have it anyway. And the funniest thing is like – tonight we send a signal, Eric, a signal. I'm like, oh,
ooh,
God.
Is he the signal master?
And that's, it was funny because I'm like, oh my God. So we're going in, and that's where the team has kind of gotten assembled. At first, Booster thinks it's the greatest thing ever. He walks in, guy freaks out. Guy's there, and he's like, oh, yeah, out of your freaking mind. This guy is a nut. I'm not dealing with this. And he leaves. He's like, fuck this. I'm not going to take orders from a pitchman for adult diapers, and leaves.
And I remember reading this initially, too. I'm like, when I saw the guy guarding, like, well, this book just got less interesting. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's very odd, but it is, you know, you have a whole setup of this quote-unquote powder keg. And Dan, he's trying to, and obviously this is Dan Juergens. He knows, yes, Booster Gold, Eric, but the humor, unknown to me way back in the day, but Booster is not as funny as I was hoping he would be in this. He has this, listen, I never ever put my name for the sell adult diapers. It's okay. But I want it more from it. That guy,
you know,
is actually,
honestly, I actually like the idea because when he comes in, he is this whole, you know, like PR dream where he's a spokesperson, yeah, kind of thing. And he has this whole feel to him. But as the series progresses, though, we lose that where he takes it way more seriously.
Oh, yeah, he does take it way more seriously.
I like him not being a joke, so I'm cool with it.
It's funny, though, because this is the only Booster Gold book you have in the New 52, especially at this point. I just wanted it to be a little more Booster. And the thing about it is, if you're going to go with the whole concept – now looking back is what I'm saying, this. At that point, though, everything was supposed to be a little darker, a little more serious, and I get that that's what this is, and you're going to end up later that pretty much Batman is the guy who's going to – almost like a tutor, a mentor to him. Yeah. But yeah, I like Guy, though. Guy throughout this whole thing is pretty standard Guy, but I like it that he's just an asshole until the chips are down. He's not – he's going to be pissed, but he's not going to let people out to dry. And really, he has a thing with Ice, which is a legacy thing, but even later she even says, listen, don't –
we had
make
a
too much
dates,
of this.
Man.
We had a couple dates, but Ice is creep. Ice is really the linchpin of getting Guy back involved. Well, when Guy leaves, that's where Batman's there, and Batman's just hanging around like a creeper. He's just sitting up there on the roof, and he's like, "Listen, you got to give Booster you have to give him a shot. Let him see what he can do. Just go." And Guy's like, "No, I've worked with him a couple times. I'm out." And also, Guy is pretty pissed off. Listen. Why am I on the B team? You know, I'm in the minor league team. This is fucking bullshit. You know, go and do your thing. I'm out. And Batman keeps saying, come on, give him a chance. Give him a chance. You know, we're going to find out. And it's weird, too, because right away Batman's like, what about the missing research team? And that really wasn't set up that much yet. You know what I mean?
Honestly, they just went in. In my mind, you think like, they had Briggs already knows what their first mission is going to be, and Batman has hacked that intel and knows
all
about it already.
It's so weird that he says it. The way he says it, though, it's like Guy's going to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, you're right. But they end up going, and Guy flies away. He's out. And they have this plane Queen Industries plane. It's funny that I know they don't know who Green Arrow is, but Green Arrow is going to get his hands involved anyway, and they have a Queen Industries jet that's going
to
take
Oliver
him.
Queen donated it to him. And his ID is like, oh, man, I'm going to be on this team. I better get them a fucking jet.
Yeah, really, I better get this. This is going to get
cut.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he really was giving these things out so that he could get on the team, and they didn't let him. It would have been funny if he's in like some hidden compartment in the back. He jumps out.
I'm a part of the team.
But this
he's
is where
storage place.
Yes, he's there. You see him. Yes. But yeah, you have the start of the General August and General and Iron and Rocket Red their little spat because of the Russia and China hating each other.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the first part that Booster's pretty good. He says, listen, believe it or not, Russia and China are tremendous allies in the future. You know, play it out, it'll be fine. And Rocket Red's like, allies? And he's totally tight. I've seen it. And it is one of the things that they don't spell it out before, but it ends up coming to play later that Booster being the leader does keep telling people, like, listen, he says to the UN even, listen, we want to get to the future I'm from, I fucked up in, but it was good. You know, everything there was better. It was a utopia. We have to, you are fucking this up. You know, just relax. That's what we get to. They don't believe him, but you
no,
do
I love
have that
too,
whole thing.
The Russian
thing.
Guy, like, I don't believe his fucking future mumbo jumbo.
He says,
time travel's not
he's
real.
He's like, time travel's real. And it's so funny he says that, yet there's guys flying around all over the place and things. But, yeah, they're going to go off to Peru. They're going to go find out what happened to this research team. And that's when Briggs is talking to Booster and like, hey, we got these people. You're supposed to make them a team. And Booster says, I don't even know who these people are.
Later on,
he even spells that out. I didn't even know their names when we left.
I just walked in here 5 minutes ago. Stormed out. Now I'm on a goddamn jet down to Peru.
Yeah, and the jet's going off. Everybody's strapped in, but Booster, and they're like, hey. And they're actually at this point, like, he's the leader, Eric. But they're really, they don't respect him. They're kind of making fun of him and things like that, except Godiva, who starts already with nonsense. I'm telling you, Godiva through the whole thing, we'll talk about what characters were important and what they did with them. But Dan Juergens, Godiva is there just to be sexy. That is the only reason she's on the team. She flirts with everybody. She has sexual innuendo left and right, and it gets really old. And I'll tell you, the characterizations of the team throughout the six issues, it doesn't advance that much, and it doesn't advance enough.
The one that I think actually advances the most, looking at all these ones, is maybe Rocket Red, which is
Rocket
weird.
Rocket Red, yeah. And even August, he seems to kind of go, those two, because you have that conflict between them, they actually grow to respect each other as well. Booster.
We were talking about with the JLA, you know, the Vixen, like, one-shot for the Rebirth, Vixen number one, how we loved the whole thing where they showed the whole, like, aura of the animal around her when she'd call upon different powers and shit like that. If you don't know Vixen going into this, you really do not know her power set or anything really about her except that she's originally from Africa, and actually seems like she's still from Africa in this.
Yeah, and really when she does have she only uses pretty much one power throughout this whole thing, the power of the badger, it seems, Eric.
And claws.
And even then it's just, but that's when she had the claws, and she's like, I'm using I'm like, badger? What the hell is going on? But yeah, I don't think that they did a very good job of her character. Fire and Ice are basically just there. Ice is there just to get hurt. Fire, I don't even know why she's really. They don't
Fire's
do
pretty
enough.
Goddamn useless in this.
Yeah,
whole
they
six
don't
six
do
issues.
Enough with the characters. Yet Dan Juergens seems to want to center on Godiva's sexuality. That it's over the top.
And I don't know if that's the case because we're getting away from the whole jokey Booster Gold, and we need some kind of comedy relief to make him uncomfortable, and we need Godiva for that. But it just comes off way too over the top, and like Godiva's whole thing is like, she, you know, there is some progression in Godiva, but it's nothing interesting because she's a character who does not belong on this team because she is a street level hero who takes out muggers and all this other shit.
And she says 10 times, it seems. Yeah. You know, she keeps saying every time the chips are down, especially later on in this trade, she just keeps saying, I can't do this. I'm street level. I get muggers and things like that. And it's like, Jesus Christ, lady, you got to step up your game, which eventually she does. But even then, it's not like a whole thing where you're like, holy shit, she's going on. And
she
now
didn't
you
prove
get
she was capable. She proved she had good luck.
Yeah, that's really. That, and she has hair that can go through cracks. But yeah, Booster's there and they're flying. Well, the whole team's seated. So he's like, who the hell? It's almost like if you got me, who has you? But he's like, who's flying the plane? And they go up and it's Batman. And it really threw me off. I mean, I get the idea he's going to do what he wants to do and he's keeping an eye on this team. But him just joining in, it really throws everything off. You know what I mean? And they are going to have video of this and all this. Batman being there, the whole concept of the team and why it's formed and why they think the people might accept it, right out the door. Because Batman seems to not be able to let anything go without him being involved. But he's there to mentor
Booster. Well, you
know, Booster.
He saw this whole thing, this team coming together. He's like, you know what? In a couple of years, I might put a team like this together.
Yeah, I might do this again. You know what? I would really like to get to know this Vixen gal.
There's this whole
here.
Thing where I really like to be around a bunch of people that squabble all the goddamn time and not really good at what they're doing.
It's funny. He's like, you know what I like? I like teams that fight because it makes me look less miserable. That's his thing. But they go, and they're heading to Peru to see what's going on with this missing team. And in the meantime, those two pieces of shit that were watching when Booster arrived and said that they were going to send a signal, they do. They pretty much blow up
the Hall of Justice. They set a bomb off next to the Hall of Justice and it fucking burns.
Yep, they pretty much blow it up. In the meantime, the team in Peru, they're checking out where the scientist disappeared. They're looking, and all of a sudden there's activity, and these rock, lava-looking monsters that come up and
start
attacking.
animates in this.
Yeah, they do. Well, they keep saying, and Dan Juergens makes sure that you know, and even better, you know, they're just constructs.
These things aren't alive.
Yeah, you can go to town with them, and you get a extended fight with the team trying to fight off what isn't even really at this point the big bad, and they're doing okay. They think that they're great. You know what I mean? They're
The animates, even to me, like, they never came off right to me because I have no idea what their purpose is of this. Like, I'm telling you, they're not the signal masters. They're not Praxis.
Well, that's what's the problem. I have this because the big bad ends up being this Praxis, who's like a Galactus type guy. Yeah. And he didn't even make the signalmen. These signalmen that come up now, what happens is there's a big explosion and this big sentinel looking. I keep mentioning Marvel stuff, but it really is like that. You know what I mean? I'm not even a Marvel fan.
I just call them the Iron Giants.
I'm not even a Marvel fan, but they look at I'll tell you, I think they're the Kindred, Eric, because it does remind me that they have these big giants just standing throughout. So if you read Brian Hitch's Justice League in Rebirth, they are a lot like the Kindred, just these big giants that just are standing.
But don't worry,
this
story makes more sense than
that. Yeah, it does. It does. But yeah, the Iron Giant Sentinel comes out. That's the signalman. And he comes out, and the team is in big trouble. And like you said, thinking about it, Praxis later says that the signalmen, they aren't his. They were something from another race. They put these in the earth. They were put there before man was even evolved.
Yeah,
they were
put all over different worlds across the universe just to gauge how civilization came before, like
and
as it would grow throughout this eons.
And the weird thing going forward is, you don't, with these rock men. Don't make sense. These construct these rock men that kind of come out. It doesn't really make sense. Also, I'm just wondering, these signalmen seem to want to signal when a planet is ready to be destroyed. Why would they wait until there's even man? Because it looks like they're just there to destroy the world and things get collected.
See,
that's what Praxis does.
When I was looking through this, like the way I understood it, we had this race and they put these signalmen down so they would be able, like this race would be able to freaking like find out all the data collection like throughout the time when like the civilization would come in to blossom and shit like that. And the whole thing that Praxis uses them for, though, is the fail-safe system where, you know, if a civilization is too hostile, this alien race would destroy it then. And Praxis is using this as a mining operation, just having the signalmen come up. But I don't know what initially activates the signalmen.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
What is the end goal? Like, would the alien race that originally put them there, would they come and make first contact?
Is it something that was there so that they could come and take over the world? Was it there
because
so that
like
they could come and help?
Activated the signalmen.
No, it seems like they just came. And actually, if anything, the funny thing is the signalmen getting activated is what wakes him up from like a stasis later for him to go. And it is odd because I can kind of think that maybe during a world war, if it was something where, when the planet gets too aggressive, it signals. But you don't get any idea.
No,
it's one of the problems.
It just activates out of
nowhere. Yeah, it's one of the problems I have with the series is that whole deal. But you go then and they're dealing with the Hall of Justice being destroyed. And it is a bad thing. It's funny too, you still have protesters out there. This thing is now blown up. I'm telling you, look in that crowd. It's one of those where there's a fire. You look at the gawkers and there's usually the guy who said it. I mean, I would just round up all the, I know it's not what you're supposed to do. I'd be questioning these protesters.
I just imagine though, like when we saw these protesters before, they had like picket signs up, you know, like Hall of Justice for the people and shit like that.
Yeah.
Just signs now. We don't want it no more.
Yeah. But it's still, the hall is ours. The UN now announces, take it. You can have this thing. Look at it. It's on fire. You go then and see this signalman just ripping apart the team. And really, later on, they get a lot of flack for this, but really, they were not prepared for this. They really had a team that was going down to check out why these scientists disappeared. They get attacked by construct rock
guys.
I'm
telling you, like we were talking about with the whole race that created these things, like not knowing the end game and shit like that. If this was a peaceful thing where they put these things, because they just wanted to study a civilization, it makes a lot of sense to me. You're an alien race, you study shit. That's all good.
Yeah.
But when you have these signalmen activating, there's a good chance you're killing a lot of people. So that first contact is not going well, especially since there's like defense mechanisms. People don't know these things are here. Of course they're going to go after it.
The best thing, the funny thing about it is when they first are having their problems, the thing isn't even active. It's just standing up, and it throws them in a tizzy because half of them can't fly. They're trying to – and it is. It's the first part where they kind of work together. They have a thing. You know,
make
ice
sure
makes
an
ice slide. Godiva actually saves Booster by grabbing him. It's weird, too, because she seems to grab him by his with her hair, but he has a flight ring. I don't know what's going on with that, but he accepts it, and then he's flying and lets her down, so it's kind of a dual thing. But yeah, you have this thing sitting there, and then they go to see what's going on, and it's Rocket Red who goes, and I will tell you that up until this point, Rocket Red was talking in a lot of, is working, data, alien, you know, in this Russian deal. And then all of a sudden he goes, and I really thought that they messed up. I thought that they had switched Booster and him, because all of a sudden he's like, attention, metal creature. We represent Earth. We wish to talk. What is it you want? And it didn't seem like what they were pushing before with that dialogue.
Just say it in a Russian accent.
Attention, metal creature. Like, am I supposed to tongue? We represent Earth. We wish to talk. That's what I have to do. Yeah. It just was weird. I think that for some reason I thought that that was supposed to be Booster, but then it leads to him being blasted.
What is it you want?
What is it you want in Russia? Signal man. I don't know.
What do they do? Come on. Mother Russia.
In Mother Russia, people work signal man. I don't know. I've got nothing. But it attacks him. He's falling out of the air. And, of course, old August kind of saves him. And that is the first bit of them kind of starting to respect each other and starting to come together. They're still
they
not going to do
it. They become buddy cops. It's kind of cool.
It's funny. They actually are arguing as they're falling about what would be the best deal. But yeah, it becomes the buddy cop deal. In the meantime, this blast is going. Booster saves Godiva with a force field. And there she goes, getting all sexy. The interesting thing about these tights is, you know, they're tight. See me sometime, Booster Gold. And it's like, God, it's already getting too much for me. But this thing is active now, and it realizes who the, you know, it's being attacked, or realizes them as a threat, and it attacks Ice, and she really gets blasted. She goes down, and then there's news people going on. I think that's also, they have the news people, and Vixen, again, now she's flying. What animal is she using
I was going to bring this up, but we were moving on. But earlier when they were like first doing, everybody was still falling.
Does she yell?
You saw an animal aura around her as like a bird and shit like that. Well, like I looked at it, I'm like, all right, we should get more of that.
Okay,
more
yeah,
often
and
because
you should
it looks
continue
good.
That. It should continue to show you, but it's weird because I think that what they're doing there is just so that later when you do have footage, you know that there were news teams around because the Vixen's yelling, are you guys crazy? Leave. These guys are in a helicopter. But this signalman then goes to town and it's shooting the freaking ground and all this. And like you said, we don't know what it's supposed to really be doing. And at this point, you don't really need that yet. But we have read it, and we know you really don't get it later. Like, it is doing things. It was an attack, per se, but it is reacting to them. Does it react because it's metahuman, whatever? But Booster says, we got to get the fuck out. You know, we are in over our head. We weren't expecting this. And the worst thing is Ice is hurt. She needs to get attention. She needs medical attention. And I like that Batman is here. He is letting Booster call the shots. He isn't like, oh, you know, he does kind of butt in at points, but he's letting. And the Rocket Red, he's pissed. He's like, Russia no run.
In Mother Russia, we no run from
Russia Christ. Not run from Napoleon. Russia not run from Hitler. And Booster's like, you know what Russia's running from? That goddamn fucking sentinel
monsters.
Thing that just blasted us. We're getting the fuck out. The first guy to kind of go to Booster's defense is August, who says, listen. And it is true. You know, they could have stayed and fight. They're going to die. There's the team. It's going to go down. Now, Rocket Red, he's that kind of guy. He's going to go down no matter what. He's going to fight until he dies. And that's where Batman tells him to sit down. You see him? He's all, like, scared of it. I don't know why, but, yeah, he's going to go. And Booster's upset. He thinks, you know, we fucked up. We did this. Batman's there to say, listen, this team was put, you were only been a team for an hour. You know, you got to back off. We were thrown into something we didn't know. But Booster is taking it pretty hard. Then you see where Guy goes to get a beer, and he sees on the news that Ice, you know, his woman, Eric.
You creep.
She was seriously hurt. And he's like, Tora, damn it. And he's going to go. And yeah, he's almost like, and every time Booster talks throughout this beginning, he always throws shade at Booster. Every time Guy does, he throws shade at Booster with like, Booster, fold, jokester, gold. He's always saying that, but he's like, you know what? He's so incompetent. He's getting people hurt. But I think that he should have been called out more from running away.
Because the thing is, too, you're talking about this whole thing about being called out. You know what I'm more focused on? He goes to this bar. He orders a beer. And he's like, you know what, Bo? Put it on my tab. And then he freaking sees on the news that Tora's hurt and flies away. I'm like, is he going to go back now and argue when Bo wants to say, this is still on your tab, guy?
Yeah, no.
I'm not paying for this. I didn't drink it.
It's funny, too, because they do make it when he goes in and says, hey, you want your usual apple teeny? And he's like, hey. I'm like, what? This is a piece of shit bar. You know what I mean?
This is what if he wants an
appletini? And Eric Shea enjoys himself an appletini now again, right? Have you ever had an appletini?
No, I have not.
Neither have I. I'd like to try one eventually. But yeah, the team comes back. Too sweet. And Yeah, just like you. Briggs is upset. He's like, Jesus Christ, you know, your first deal. We just watched you get taken down by this thing. This is a PR disaster. And it's pretty bad.
Thanks for
just
the comments, the way, Bruce.
That's
Briggs.
What I'm saying. Just the whole thing is, it doesn't even matter that they almost died. And at this point, Ice could be dead. He just cares about
you
his job and the PR.
You sent us to find three missing people, and there was a giant metal monster. Yes. What do you want from me here?
And the other part of this, though, that actually I think that Dan Juergens doesn't go full out on is Briggs is not bad. He might be an asshole. He might be looking out for himself and wanting to advance because of this team. But I really thought that he should have been a little more of a dick. I mean, he's yelling here and he's saying things and saying, you know, the authorization, Batman doesn't need to be here. And that's where Booster says, hey, it's my call. He seems to go with it then. You know what I mean? This guy does seem to be a little bit more of a good guy than I actually thought he was going to be at the very beginning. But he says it's all about PR to him. That's all it is. And he's like, you guys are cowards. You know, you failed. This is bullshit. We're never going to do this. Batman tells him enough. And they just go from there because he says there's missing people. We went there. We weren't prepared. I like that he says we weren't prepared for a giant to go ape on us, Eric. That's how the kids talk.
To go but ham on us.
Now the team is in full out arguing. Not one person's like, the fuck happened to the fucking building? You know, they do say, but I mean, they are next to they end up going to the goddamn Hall of Justice. It's in ruins. And they're just like, but Ice doesn't.
Hey, we don't have to stay here still, do we?
Yeah, right. Well, are we supposed to walk in here? But yeah, Booster says, listen, I don't need the crap. Guy shows up and starts throwing, you know, just pissed. And he's like, if you want to do this, just fucking do it, Guy. Just, you're the leader. I'm getting the fuck out. And, Ice then says, you know, she's not that bad off. Then says, that's when she says to a guy, because he's like, you miss me? I miss me? You didn't come with us and we got fucking lit up. But yeah, she's like, hey, we had a few dates. Don't make more of that. But everybody's yelling about how much of a failure it is. They even say it's like, I think Briggs is the one who says, this is just like the maiden voyage of the Titanic. You know, is that too soon, Eric?
No, it's not too soon for the Titanic.
It's not. And Booster's like, fuck it. No, I'm jumping ship. You want it to be the Titanic? I'm getting the fuck out. Bye. And that's when August steps up and says, no. General gains nothing from, you know, losing soldiers. I'm in. I'm going to go. He can lead me. I'm going in. I'm honored to follow this man. And
damn
it is.
Right, August.
It's a weird step up for August because you don't really get that was earned, but it's somebody had to do it and it's good. And then Batman says, hey, I'm in. And I'm still waiting for Briggs. Like, you are not in. You are not part of this
team. It's all like, you know, like Godiva, Vixen, and Fire. They're all like, you know, I bet you $20 Batman breaks his arm.
Yeah.
I bet you $30 that he's going to fucking
break his jaw, too. Yeah, shit like that. But yeah, you have August, Booster, and Batman
come
are
on,
all
Briggs,
in.
Come on, come at
And
him.
There you have Godiva. Oh, menage a trois. I'm like, what the fuck? Come up and see me. she might as well be Mae West in this. I know that that's her character, for the most, but she doesn't come off as a hero any of these beginnings at all. But yeah, that's where Briggs says to Batman, we can't allow this. You're not allowed in this team. And that's where you have the three ladies are like, I bet he's going to break his arm. I bet he's going to break his jaw. But that's when Booster steps up and says, listen, I'm the leader. If you want me to be the leader, this is how it's going to be, and we're going to go, and this giant thing is things are just going to get worse. And then it gets worse because Skeets gets a hold of Booster, man, and shows him there are four giants throughout the world. They're all set up. This is why I said it kind of reminds me of the Kindred in the Hitch Justice League, but they're in the ones in Africa, so that gets
Vixen's attention. It's odd too to have this whole, we have Skeets contact Booster and Batman even says, oh, you still have your security droid. Yeah, he's at the Booster Cave handling things.
Yeah, the Booster Cave.
I can't remember in the series at all if we ever see the Booster Cave there, or Skeets. For, like,
here's the thing, I actually said that somebody had pointed out when we just saw Skeets in the latest, in the Button story, where he was in the Justice League, and people legitimately said, that's the first time we've seen Skeets actually seen him since before the New 52. And I thought that we saw him in some of those other things that Booster was in, but it might be possible that Skeets is just off in the Booster Cave, going on the Booster Cave. But yeah, the team's kind of coming together, and they're coming together because there's shit going on. Now, again, you want to go with the Brian Hitch thing that really goes with the whole thing when you had the Timeless, even with the Jesus Christ, we couldn't do anything to one of these. Now there's four. How can we go? Now this is where I'm going to start wondering where the fuck Superman is. And Wonder Woman and all these other people.
Dude, I'm telling you, we have the Justice League International. It's our debut mission. Shit went bad. And this whole thing, things just keep getting worse as we progress with the story. The world is almost destroyed. And the Justice League never step up. No. Like, what the fuck?
They never show up. And it's so odd because this is way, way beyond just something
I like Batman's contact to the rest of the league. Yeah. Don't worry. Let this team have it.
Almost think it must be. Like, the world kind of is. And at one point, the destruction that they show from space seems a lot worse than what they pull out at the end. Like, there was minimal casualties. It looks like half the planet got blown up. But while they're doing this, they're going to try to come together as a team to go after these four. And that's where we go into space and see who the big bad is. Though, another thing that I thought was weird is this is a character new to this arc. They don't name him for the longest time, and it actually threw me off because, this is where he's in, like, the stasis, like a coffin-type thing. It gets activated when the signal rise and shoot
the signal to him.
Yeah, Planet 3147 is active, and shit, he opens it up, and he says, not for long, Planet 3147 dies today. You would have expected him to say, like, not for long, now that Praxis, dun, dun, dun. You know what I mean? Like, spell that out, but really, they don't spell it out at all. But I like his look. I said he looks a lot like Galactus to me. But I like his look. I like the whole idea of a space-type threat coming into the Earth.
He's okay. He just seems like a generic space lord to me. Yeah, but the thing is, I would have liked is we have this character, Praxis. I like the name.
Yeah.
He's a goddamn powerhouse.
Yeah.
We never get any backstory on him besides the fact that he is mining planets for the goddamn riches.
And that's the thing going on. And again, we'll get to the point where we talk about it. When we actually do see, he just ends up seeing like a scavenger. He goes, he even says, hey, get my contacts ready. I got some shit coming. We're going to go on the market. And it seemed less then. He seemed less of a, like, you get him when he comes out of this and he seems like a world destroyer. Instead, he is just, they say to him, what, you're just a miner? Yeah. That's all he seems to be. It is very odd. But shit is going wrong, and they have to go and figure out what they're going to do with these giant signalmen. And they end up going. And now the other thing is, all of a sudden, the signalmen are out, but also this crazy mechanical shit's growing around him, coming up from cracks and stuff. Well,
we saw that at the end of the first issue, I think. Well, I don't know if it's the first issue, but when they first retreated, he was shooting the ground. And for some reason, it was allowing this freaking mechanical stuff to rise around it.
Basically, that's the thing that's going to also blow up the planet. But it's just weird. A lot of things are just kind of left open. But they go there. Batman's going to run a plan where we're going to distract them, and then Batman's going to go down this crevice and see what's what.
Each person is each group has been broken up in teams of two, where somebody has to distract them, or the other person
somebody
goes
distracts
down.
The other one goes down to see what's going on. And in fact, there is a big, you know, there's a big hollow area where they came out of, and each team goes and does it. It's Booster and Batman, right? And Rocket Red and Ice, and then what are the other Vixen? But they're all doing pretty much the same thing. They're going down.
This issue is pretty much them all doing the same goddamn thing, except for Guy Gardner. And then we had Fire and freaking Vixen. They team up, and who the hell's the other one now?
Fire and Vixen, and then August and Godiva. And they're going and doing this. And in the meantime, they all go down and run into pretty much more. They actually look like critters to me, like little critters. They're
you
little
don't even know what critters look like.
I don't know. They're little, those little rockmen little, now. They don't seem
golems.
As big. They're like little golems that attack then. And what ends up, they all are pretty much taken captive by these golems. They're all taken. Now, Batman's trying desperately to, you know, get through to the alien tech and see what this, because when he goes down, it's weird too. When he goes down, he looks down and the whole thing, he sees, oh, this is alien tech. And it's a lot more going on in his thing than the other. But you also see, I guess those are golems, but the way it looks like they're alien people.
Golems.
But they have these golems there. And he says, even them, we're going to go down. This is Booster and him are both in this crevice. And he says to Booster, yes, he says, listen, you take care of these guys. I'm going to see what I can do with this computer. And he realizes that somebody else is involved. That somebody else is watching. You see the signals are all going up to where Paraxis is, but that's where Guy ends up. He's going to talk to them, he's going to go and see who the big bad is. So he goes in, and, you know, he's a badass. He's a Green Lantern.
Everybody's off doing their own goddamn thing. Guy is so stubborn, he will not be a part of it. But he will use his construct fucking like listening equipment, so he finds out what's going on with Briggs, so he can find out what the rest of the team are doing. Then he flies off.
And he flies off because they see these signals from these four things are going off to a spacecraft. And again, there's the spacecraft. Guy, you would think he would have been alerted to this anyway, but we'll go with it.
As we've seen in the Green Lantern ship, there's a goddamn alien threat in the area. Yeah. The rings will tell them.
Yes, and again, you have that. Where's Hal? And now at this point, Hal isn't a Green Lantern. So where's – it's funny. Sinestro's the Green Lantern at this point here, and he doesn't show up. He's too busy. But, Guy goes up.
Nice sector.
True. But I guess – are we to believe that Guy is the – Green Lantern of Earth at this moment?
At this moment, yeah.
You would think he would be. So you would think that his ring would have been alerted. You would think that these guys' rings would have been alerted. And he goes, he just breaks into this spaceship and gets cold cocked, sucker punched from behind, and is knocked out. And that's where you see Paraxis again. And he's like, a lantern? I expected more. You'll be one of my easier kills. And he has this huge goddamn fucking, it looks like a pick slash whatever, but Guy's out. He's out cold. But again, you still don't get the guy's name. This is at the end of what would be issue 3. And we still, but it says next issue, the JLI versus Paraxis. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Paraxis.
You know, and I think that he looks cool enough. I know you don't like him, and really, they don't do enough to say exactly who or what he is,
or what his power set is.
Well,
all his power from the goddamn cosmic pickaxe. He has?
That's what he looks. He looks
know.
The cosmic pickaxe and this lit up armor. But yeah, he's just an alien brute that seems to be a minor. He has a pickaxe.
So we end issue 3 of the frickin' initial JLI, and the entire Justice League International have been taken
down. They're all taken out. They're all down. And then we move on from there, but we're going to take a little break and then come back and finish the rest up.
You're safe now, folks. This hunk of tin and transistors couldn't cut it against a real high-tech hero. A hero who's 1,000% committed to the fight against evil. And you have no idea who I am, do you? Skeets?
Citizens of Metropolis, behold, Booster Gold! Traveling back through time from the year 2462 AD, Booster Gold has come to battle today's wrongdoers. Booster Gold, protecting his past to ensure your future.
Can I have your autograph?
Of course you can.
I thought you were Green Lantern.
All right, we're back, Eric. We are in the middle. Poor Booster. Yeah, good old Booster.
I was thinking, I think that was Billy West doing a voice of Skeets.
That's pretty good. But yeah, we're going to go, and we have the second half of this trade, and it starts off really quick in Peru, where Batman and Booster are in big trouble, just to kind of remind you, or, you know, have the whole deal where, yes, they are all, and they all seem, it's almost like a Clayface type clay mud that they're engulfed in. At one point then, it's weird because these rock monster construct, whatever the hell they were calling them before,
the animates,
all of a sudden they just shoot out this mud and goo, this goop that surrounds them, and it absorbs all their powers. They can't move. Then we go back into space where Guy is on Praxis' ship and he's trying to figure it out. And it's weird too. Like, Praxis just knocks him out and then just walks away. He talks about Green Lantern. He knows he's a Green Lantern, but yet just lets him sit there. Doesn't even put him in
the issue about how it's going to be an easy kill. I'm like, oh, all right. Just lets him go. He fucking leaves him in a skull chamber where it's like Predator 2, where we find out all the skulls the Predators have at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exactly like that. And Guy's just hanging out there.
And it's just weird because Guy just goes, puts his hand on a console deal, and the door opens up and he's got free rein to just walk around this spaceship. But he goes, and also to the point where it looks like the room he's in is just outside the control center of Praxis. He opens up a door, and there he sees the entire team engulfed in this goop. They're all taken care of in this goop. And I will point out at the point here, later, when Godiva actually frees Batman's utility belt and stuff from it, at that point it looked like here you don't see any belt. At that other point, it seems like it's exposed. It's just that Batman can't get to it. I mean, they are covered completely in this goop. But this is where Guy's like, you know, what the hell is going on? This is connected. Like, up until this point, he wasn't really sure that this spaceship was connected to these robots, these signal men. But this pretty much spells it out really right to him, because you see the signal men on some of the monitors and all the Justice League International being taken care of. But he's there, and that's where
Praxis. Is a connection.
Yeah, there is a connection. Praxis shows up, and for some reason, Dan Jurgens doesn't want us to know what he's saying. And yet, like you said, we've already understood what he was saying twice now when he came about. And you pointed out there's a real major flaw in this because of Guy Gardner.
Yeah, I'm saying we have the Green Lantern ring, which has a universal translator, and yet we have to have this whole thing where we see Praxis speaking an alien language until he hears Guy enough, I guess, that he's able to process the language and understand it.
He's able to learn it, and it's just weird. It's a weird setup to see that he's learning, Eric. Because, he's there, and Guy's trash-talking him, but at this point it doesn't seem like they can understand each other, yet we've already heard. I just don't know why
Like, I am Praxis. You have invaded my craft. I first thought to kill you, but have decided to learn from you instead of, like, what, the language? Is that all you're going for?
Yeah, and then he kind of scans, Guy's mind to see what the planet is like. Now, the issue to me is, now it's going well beyond what he even says later of what he's going to do. He's just there for when these planet breakers, the signal men, destroy the planet. He's there to pick up the scraps. He really is. He's not really even part of the signal men. Just every time that there's a threat, that the signal men seem to be a planet's going to be a threat, they go off, blow up the planet. He's there just to pick up the scraps, but yet now he wants to know info, and he uses that term mudball over and over. It seems, just show me this mudball you call home. And Guy doesn't want to tell him anything, but Paraxis does get the info from Guy. But what info? What info does he need? Because
I don't know.
Like, I don't know either.
What does Guy know about the fucking minerals of the world and shit like that?
Yeah, what would he know?
I sat here thinking this whole time, too, while reading this first six issues. Like, we had the signal men. They were buried deep in the earth, you know, eons ago, before civilization. Any kind of man ever crawled out of the goddamn ooze and shit like that. And then I thought to myself about the Brian Hitch Kindred run, where we had the World Breakers that were
buried
close to the center
of the
Kindred.
Like,
there's this shit buried all over this world from aliens from eons ago.
Yeah, because if you really go with continuity, that there the Kindred are buried somewhere in the breakers, and all these things are all buried on Earth, these planet breakers. But this is these signal men, to me, are Brian Hitch read this and thought, okay, I'm going to make these two separate things and go, and it's just nonsense. But really, there isn't a lot of rules involved and explanation of what's really going on. Now, the best is that they do teleport down to Earth, and it's a very confusing progression of panels. And we haven't even said this up until this point. I do think the art's pretty good in this. Aaron Lopresti's art is good throughout the whole deal. But this is a very confusing progression because he's just like, show me the mud ball you call home, okay, and then but they just boom, they disappear, and then they end up, and you don't really get a full idea. Now you do see Batman and Booster in the background to the one side, but even so, like the first thing you're like, what's
very
going
hard
on
to see if you're not looking right
I'm
at
telling
them.
You it's like very odd. Now the best thing, here's the funniest thing that we were talking about earlier, you then go to Briggs and Emerson, his, we haven't even mentioned her by name, but the lady who is there,
Emerson Esposito,
who is Briggs' assistant, they seem to have set up shop in that destroyed just the Hall of Justice. They are there on their laptops and tablets in the middle of the ruins.
Well, the thing is, I imagine in the last issue we saw they're stationed in a van outside the Hall of Justice with all these computer monitors and shit like that. They've been in that van a while. They got out
to
stretch
the
legs and walk through.
They're walking through the rubble, though, and I'm surprised they don't just set up a desk in there because they're doing their thing.
We don't find a desk this time of night.
I'm telling you, I think they're in that van, and Emerson's like, listen, Briggs, listen, Andre, his first name is, listen, Andre, you know, let's just stay in this van. No, means the terrorists win. We're going to show them we don't care.
I had a lot of Mexican for lunch. We need to walk outside.
Yeah, really, let's go. I'm about to let loose. I'm telling you, it reminds me of when I told you at one point somebody had egged my car to the point where it looked like they used like 4 dozen eggs on my car, and I'm a lazy man, so I didn't want to wash it, so it was just covered in fucking rotten egg shit, and this is in the summer, and my wife kept yelling at me, and I'm like, when are you going to clean the car? If I clean it, the terrorists win. I kept telling her that, and it just, we'd have birds fucking licking that, fucking raccoons over there licking my wheels, fucking nonsense.
Imagine they'll eat through your paint, too.
Yeah, it didn't do a great thing, and then that led to me putting peanut butter on my genitals, but we'll get into that later, Eric. That is not for this story. But yeah, at this point, pretty much, Paraxis has Guy. He has him under his fucking heel, actually. He actually steps on his head. He's trash talking while he teleports the entire JLA there, or JLI there, to kind of pretty much trash talk and tell him why he is doing what he's doing. And basically, it boils down to, he just wants minerals. He wants the minerals that he's going to sell on the open market to people. He wants to make a buck. That's all
he might
it
not
is.
Be a young man, but he is a miner.
Yeah, yes, he is a miner, a miner 49er. And they even say, hey, what is it? You want money like this? And it's funny. He's like, the trinkets you think of as money as wealth are of no interest to me. No, you're getting the stuff to make the money of you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He is after money. So his whole thing of like, your money's, you know, below me. No, you just want different money. It's kind of odd the way they do that. In the meantime, Batman is trying to, you know, break free and get to his belt, but he can't reach it. That's where Godiva actually comes through because her power is her hair. And she has the hair going, and it's going to go down. Yeah, it's going to go down, but it is set up for her. This is her one of her shining moments where that she's going to go to the, you know, get down into where the bat, his belt is, and get some stuff. In the meantime, Ice even says, hey, maybe if we can do something here, we can change the composition of the set. And really,
it's such a weird transition, though, of events, because we know that Godiva is going up around Batman's neck, down into the freaking mud, into her freaking belt. No. That was just like you could see through it at that point.
Really?
Because
Think that it shows that you can see it because she takes it out. And then it's not even like you just have stuff sticking to it. I'm telling you, I think it was a weird panel to have where you can see that. But yeah,
but
I know what you're saying.
But the idea is she's going for his laser in his utility belt so they try to cut through this when they pull it out. But the Ice has this idea, though. I'm going to try to like make the mud, you know, cold so it'll be able to break easier, which we don't don't know because right now everything is it's dampening their powers. Nothing they do is affecting this mud.
Yeah.
But you never see Ice really do anything. But you get the idea. She has made, you know, somehow the rest of them frozen because it looks like Booster and Batman's freaking mud is, you know, not as like
yeah,
brittle.
Which is
as
odd,
the rest
though. It's just odd because earlier they even spelled it out that that stuff was pretty much absorbing all their powers and not able to do that. And yeah, she just says it, and you really don't ever see. Like, we could guess, oh, she must have done that. But you really get nothing with it.
Like, all I get, there's a small freaking caption for the sound effect, like, crick. I'm like, yeah, I guess that must have been it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm saying it's hers, and freaking Rocket Reds are now look like they're frozen, maybe? Yeah.
It's just odd. There's a lot of transitions in this book that are very not well spelled out and a little confusing. In the meantime, Booster just basically yells at Praxis, like, what are these giants? What's their purpose? And this is where he spells out exactly what they were. And he says, the Siglomen weren't originally mine. They were sent here by an advanced race to chronicle this world's development long before human life. Eventually, they would have summoned their masters, but their masters had died. Their scouts stayed dormant until I discovered them. And then he says, you know, your world, yours isn't the only one. I've been traveling around to them, and it really is. It says, the scouts were to ascertain whether or not the planet constituted a threat. If so, they have the power to rip the planet apart. And I just don't understand why that is now. Like, there is a lot of other times in human history that you think they'd be a threat. And not to just mention that, this is JLI and this start of the New 52 is not the start of the metahumans.
No.
The Justice League were around by this point for 5 years. If that was when they would have thought it was a threat, like, oh my God, the metahumans, they're getting together, whatever it would do to Signal. It just seems odd now. I'm guessing that what they're trying to push is that all of a sudden metahumans are all over the place right now. But they were there individually before. It's not like there was a big – this isn't the goddamn – what's that – the mist that caused the Inhumans. All of a sudden there was something was something that went around the planet and made the metahumans at this moment that made them Signal. I just don't – it doesn't seem – it's just forced to be – why it happened. And he explains it, and he just says, when the planet breaks up, I take the ore, minerals, seeds, spores, germs, anything of value. I plunder it and leave. And then that's where, you know, Rocket Red's like, you are minor is sick. And then, yeah, they're like, and it's weird too, because then Ice is just like, she wants to know the semantics of it.
Accent.
Yes, it's terrible. Ice is like there to get the semantics. She's like, that would take hundreds of years. Like, and here's the best too, that Vixen says, not to mention our motto of ships. I'm telling you, he's just going to get what he can get and get the fuck out or come back. But then the best is then August says, impossible. It cannot be done. No one would kill billions for scrap. No, I think he would. You know what I mean? This is a bad guy. He's already said that he has done this many times. Don't think morally about this guy, because
he wouldn't do that. He must be lying. No one would do that.
Yeah, no one would do that. It's very odd. And he's like, no, that's how it goes. You know, that's the way of life and death. In the meantime, that's where Godiva is breaking through. And this is all more of a, there goes Paraxis. He's monologuing as shit's going on. And they break free. They do break free. And then they're the full team going to attack. But again, it's just back
and
forth in this attack. And again,
Ice is down again.
Yeah, Ice is down immediately. Like, she is the worst. Godiva attacks with her hair. And I'll give her, she does step it up. She does attack. But she just gets punched. This guy does not care about punching women, obviously. He just punches her down. Ice is out cold. And that's where Booster, like, hey, the more powerful ones take point. They start attacking. In the meantime, Paraxis just seems to be able to, you know, summon these rock gremlin fucking animates there to attack. And he zips out. He freaking zoop. He's out and he's gone. And the ground starts shaking. And now we get the idea that the planet breaker deal of the Signalmen has started. The whole planet is being destroyed. Paraxis is back up in his spaceship watching. And what I was saying earlier, the destruction that you see, this explosions and shit flying up out of the planet, this is not minor. You know what I mean? Like, at the end, they kind
of
make it.
I actually don't even think there's much of a destruction here. I think this is just the light from the signal, man, shining bright.
I'm telling you, light. This is, looks like, even then, there is light, but shit's flying up, and this is the beginning. He says, now subject, molecular breakdown, accelerate the pace. Like, fragmentation is initiated. You see rubble and shit going, even from a space level, you see destruction. And they end up later like, luckily it was minor. It does not seem minor. And yeah, we move, and basically you're going to end up, and then this does have an epilogue. But yeah, we're about what would be.
What are we really losing here right now? We got Peru, Canada, Brazil.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At one point, yeah,
Africa and Russia. Come on,
it's funny too, though.
Okay, right?
If you look, it looks like one of them is going from the ocean. I'm like, I don't know that it matches up, but yeah. In the next issue, it starts, and you see shit is flying up. It's like they are ripping the Earth apart and putting the minerals out into, you know, this is what Paraxis wants. And you have the news networks around the you know, around the world are like, oh my God, you know, this is the end of the world. We better pray. There's a lot of this shit going on. And Paraxis is just there, you know, finally, I had too much time spent with these fucking nonsense. Let's get this done and get the fuck out of here.
I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like, yeah, really. He wants to go back in that goddamn fucking, you know, that coffin he was in. Now, in the meantime, the world has now started shooting up nukes. They are doing a lot of things, but Paraxis just pretty much laughs at them and gets rid of those. The thing is, though,
that's why we need heroes, people. We can't take care of ourselves.
And Booster
don't do
saved
shit to nobody.
Booster has saved everyone. He set up a force field. Now, this force field is kind of in the middle of full-out destruction going on, and I really did think, like, there's the force field. I would have liked a little bit here where the force field also had another construct force field around, and you would have had Guy and Booster trying to argue who saved who. It would have been funny.
Who saved who?
But you have Guy didn't react very quick. Booster saved them. He legitimately saved all of them.
Yeah, you didn't, Guy.
Yeah, you didn't. But then he attaches like construct rockets to this, and they have this bubble that they shoot out. And basically, they have to take the fight to Paraxis, because it's weird, though, because they go off and it really does seem like people are like, yeah, it's a bad thing, but it doesn't seem as bad. It just is very odd. This destruction seems like it should be just destroying the world and everybody should have been pissed and whatnot. But yeah, they're upset, but they are going to have to go into space and attack them in space. And the way
they don't get a spaceship.
No, they don't have a ship. They do have their rocket, the Queen Industries rocket, which that's what you see at first. You see, it looks like they're heading in that with Booster, or not Booster, Guy Gardner.
It's the Queen Industries jet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's the jet that they had before, that Queen Industries jet that actually has Guy's construct there that has like a rocket on it, sending him up
in
space.
And I'm telling you, I'm sure it is airtight in some degree.
I thought that was bullshit right away.
Yeah, so
you're seeing that and you're like, really? That's
in
you're
my
just
mind.
Getting
it should
jet.
Have had this construct rocket on the bottom to get the thrust to get them out there, and also have a goddamn freaking shield around
shield
them.
Around it. Yeah. Like it ends up getting destroyed. They're not in it.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing.
I'm telling you though, it's destroyed and I see it going in the space, I'm like, well, this is kind of bullshit, but it is all just a decoy.
Yeah, and you would guess that if they were in it, maybe Boost or whatever force, whatever it might be, but yeah, it's all a decoy. Everybody thinks that the JLI is dead. In the meantime, they just get themselves inside one of the big rocks, put a fire has a, this is all she does, the whole thing, really, is that she is propelling it with a weird engine. Like, I really wonder why, is Guy's ring low at this point? Because you've had him throughout this whole thing attach
fire
rockets to things.
Something to
fire
do,
needed
God
something.
It.
In the meantime, Guy is using the ring to kind of have a heads-up display that's guiding them in. And as the rock gets destroyed, it kind of breaks free. They have this whole plan to get in the ship. And when they do, they close it, and now they break out of it. They're in Paraxis' ship. And again, it's very quick. It is a little bullshit. It reminded me a little bit of Star Wars when they had the shuttle and Jedi, but it is a little bit quicker.
Like when they freaking went out on the trash?
Yeah, well, even that, yeah, with the Millennium Falcon even. Yeah, it's very similar to that as well. Yeah, you're right. And they go, and now they're in the ship, and they just go. And it's funny, Paraxis, with all the things, he does not have a lot of sensors that lets him know people are in, because Guy even came up
to him. I'm just saying, if I had a ship, I'd want to know if the outside doors are opening and closing at any goddamn given time.
This is what I'm saying. All of a sudden, you have it that it's closing. You wonder what the fuck's going on.
You know what? There's alien entities on board now. Oh, yeah. Thank you,
ship. Or even that, you go, I'm sure they went through a couple doors. Have something that tells you this, and this is where you have the continuation of Nixon with her claws. At least have like a
7-Eleven mini mart where the freaking doors open up. Beep, boop,
beep, beep, boop, beep. Yeah,
and they, they're all
attacking Paraxis, and he is just like, he is just making fun of them as he does, and he's like, you have claws? Boom. You fight with hair? Boom. In the meantime, you have
bitches.
Yeah, you have Ice and Rocket and Batman heading to where the main, you know, the main deal is. Again, why is Paraxis like not even thinking to have this? He does have some defenses, not much. Ice just freezes them and they're done, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And basically the rest of this is Paraxis just fighting the rest of the team while they're really running distraction, while Batman and the rest of them are doing things. But yeah, they start
and hoping to God that Rocket Red's fucking tech can read alien tech and shut this shit down.
Yeah. Yeah, and what happens is he does.
It's cut up in the air right now.
Yeah, and he does shut it down, and the ship pretty much loses control and starts going. Now, again, this is only Paraxis' ship. It's heading down. This does not stop, really, the destruction of the world, and they get very lucky from here. But Paraxis, this is the best, too. You have him this whole time. You don't really get to know him that much. He just puts a force field around him and flies away.
He gets out of the ship and says, no, you won't.
No, you will not. He just goes, and the ship is that his spaceship is going to crash onto Earth. It's going down. Guy's trying desperately to stop it. He can't. The ring doesn't have enough power.
Does slow it down enough for everybody to bail ship, so they can, like, he has this freaking reverse thruster going on with the freaking construct around the ship, and it slows it down enough for the rest of the team to get out safely, but he cannot stop it like completely.
No, and it's one of those, to me, it's very cartoony. It's one of those, like, in a cartoon, Looney Tunes, you have the cartoon where elevator is falling. And if you jump out at the last second, you're only going 2 feet. You know what I mean? That whole thing. Because it does kind of look like that. They just jump out at the last second. The velocity, though, I know you're saying they slowed it down enough, but Jesus Christ, they just jump out. Batman's ride. Most of them are riding on an ice fucking slide.
Yeah, let's jump out onto some ice.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's just like, you know, hey, don't worry. We're falling 60 stories. Just jump out at the last story. Everybody can jump out of the last story. No, we felt all these. But the big point is the ship just hits one of the fucking giants. It just goes and destroys the giant, which basically shuts down all the rest of them. And I was like, oh, that's convenient. But yeah, that's pretty much. But then you get the whole deal where you find out somebody else is watching them, Harry.
Dun, dun, dun.
Really? You have all this, and even there's Godiva, and she's hugging Booster, and I like Guy's reaction to this. She's like hugging Booster, like, I want to get to know you. Oh, and Guy's like, he's in the back there.
Sure.
And then that's where Rocket Red's like, duh, for tactical purposes.
Yeah,
like, whatever. But yeah, some other big bad is watching them and says at the end, hey, amazing, they succeeded. I can't abide that. Accelerate plans for their demise. And you see him, he's looking at the, you know, the team there. And I'm like, okay, it is setting up the next arc and who the
thing
big is.
For this whole volume, though, you don't get the answers about who these people are.
No, that's
the thing
problem.
Is, I'm like, what do you mean you can't abide this? The world was almost destroyed. And
you would have been dead.
This, I'm like, you are on this fucking world.
Yeah, it looks like, you're guessing they're on the planet. So, yeah, if you're there, what can't you abide? It is ridiculous, but for all the setup, this is near the end. There is one issue left of this trade here, and for the big part of it, it just kind of ends. You have this setup that went on, and you did have to set up the team and stuff, but I don't think that it set it up enough to, when you get to this point, you're like, okay, Paraxis, just fucking, I'll be back. He leaves. The ship crashes into one of these signalmen and shuts them all down. It's done.
Thankfully, it was in a non-populated area, so there was no freaking damage to, like, to anybody around them.
It didn't look – I know that it looked like that before, but these explosions from space – I know you said they weren't really explosions, but Jesus Christ. It looked like a massive, you know, ground zero
All I can imagine is the way it looks. Like, you got the Sigma-men, right? They fucking lift their arms up. All this energy and light is shining up there. It reversed gravity, causing the ground to start crumbling up and
It is crumbling and flying up. But if you look at – just that one point where Paraxis is there from space watching and the whole planet, and he's like, good, it started. It looks like there isn't a lot of the planet left. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things, but they're going with it because then you get the ending, which is an epilogue. And like I said, the art team changes here, and I'll even say it. I'm trying to get to the part where the art is by Marco Castellio and Vincenzo Acunzo. Why did I even try to read it? But yeah, they go, and that's where you have Batman and Booster. It starts out with Batman and Booster.
I don't mind the art change here. I'm telling you.
No, it's okay.
It's less detailed, but when they get up close, I mean, it's pretty cool looking. I'm telling you, I really dig the, like,
it is pretty cool.
The up close angles and shit like that they use, and I'm telling you, they look really detailed at certain things, but when you get it further away, like, Booster Gold just becomes a fucking mask and a profile, and I'm like,
but
it's
okay when they're up close, but it's Batman has grabbed Booster and says, hey, you're going to come and help me here. It's going to help you out in the long run, where they go and get those pieces of shit that blew up
the
Hall of Justice. And it's weird. They're just sitting there in a room with another bomb, Eric. They just like to sit around with bombs.
Who doesn't?
But yeah, Batman and Booster jump in. These guys have a bomb. Basically, like, you're going to take us. I'm ain't going to jail. You're going down with us.
You're pretty for jail.
Booster puts a look at my mouth. I'd be in big trouble. They put a
force
field.
Can't afford for my mouth to have stretch marks.
Yeah, really. They put a force field around the bomb. These guys go in, and then you have a lot of the cleanup. You're having the team taken apart. The signalmen, they're taking things apart and whatnot. And you have
and
an
guy
ominous
just
thing.
Bitching.
Oh, guy's so
Booster
mad.
Is not there, even though he helped clean up the other
three
sites,
of four.
The fourth one. Yeah.
Yep. He's like, he should be here, and it's just him and Ice, and the guy is bitching. But then Rocket Red's with them, but you get this ominous thing where Rocket Red goes into the head of the one signalman that they're cleaning up then, and goes to kind of look at what they have in the, data and stuff.
Right.
And it goes into him. He does download it in, and you're getting the idea that might cause some problems.
As far as he wants to download the information, but it looks like it downloads right into his fucking eyes, into his brain, like it's something that his suit is doing. So I'm like, and from what I remember from reading this previously, this does play a big role later on with Rocket Red.
You would see, you can really tell that this is a setup later, because something goes in there and he just comes out and he's like, hey, you know what? Everything's fine. What's going on? He does interrupt the arguing, and then you get Godiva.
Well, guys
are
like, what
August.
Were you doing? Take a nap in there? Luckily, we asked to see if you were in there. We're about to take this part, like, apart. What were you doing? I was working, I think.
It's very odd. But yeah, then you go to New York. Godiva is taking August around to teach him how it is to eat like Americans, even though she's a Brit. It's just odd, but it does. I like the whole look because it's like the thing. It's like a Marvel thing, but when the thing goes around with the trench coat and the hat and stuff, it's just like, I think they really seem to be playing that up. You know what I mean? Like poking fun at that. But they're going to have hot dogs, and you do get the background a bit of August here where he says, you know, hey, aliens came. They transform me into this. Earlier on in the series, at one point, I think it was Godiva even that said, you know, is that your skin? And he's like, no, this is – or is that armor? And he's this is me. And you get a little more of this where he even says, I don't really have taste buds. It's funny because he's eating this hot dog, and you think that when he eats this hot dog, it's going to change him. Like, this is going to be some philosophical thing, like, you know what? I don't know why the Chinese sounds like Russian, but you know what? Things around the world are good, not just China. And it's not that. He eats the hot dog and goes, it's all right, I guess.
It's so like funny. You didn't get enough toppings, buddy.
Yeah, really. And then she says, hey, you should come to England, jolly old England, and we'll get some fish and chips. And he's like, whatever, you know, we'll do this, but... He asked her, like, why do you behave like you do when we're with the thing? It's like the opposite of why are you nice when nobody else is around. It's one of those, like, why are you so, you know, forward and things like that
when you're with the team? I laughed my ass off when I read this because – Now it's just August and Godiva, and she is acting more serious.
On.
Exactly. She's acting more serious, and whenever the group is together, she has to be all forward and flirty and shit like that. And I'm sitting here like, why are you like this? I'm like, because you're a hideous fuck.
What's she going to do with you, August? You are just a hideous thing. She is not what, oh, you want me to flirt with you, you fucking monster? But she keeps saying, and this is something we didn't point out as much. We did mention at the beginning. But through the end of this whole thing, while she's trying to help and do things, she keeps mentioning, I'm just small time. I'm street level. I don't deal with aliens. I don't do this, you know. And she keeps saying this to August, but he's there to say, you know what? You're better than that. You are pretty good. And she's just like, hey. And then he says, why you flirt with Booster? And she's like, why do you speak like you're Russian? But yeah, it would be funny. She's like, what, you want me to flirt with you?
That's my personal business. Fuck off.
Yeah. So they're going, and you get this whole thing again of people watching this. Somebody's watching them. But yeah, they're going, and there's an attack. There's an attack set out where a van comes up. And now it's funny, too, because they really do jump to a conclusion that this is an attack. It's just a van that goes, but they're right, and there's a bomb. It's basically a suicide bombing attempt where they go, they knock the guy out, but there's the bomb. It's going to go off in 21 seconds. And Godiva then goes with her hair. Goes into it because they say, you know, you can't touch it, you can't do this. Well, the hair ends up ripping the thing apart a little, which is odd.
It goes in,
and you said earlier, she's lucky. She pulls the right, you know, red. She just pulls
like
the right
one. It's 2 seconds left, and there's like, you know, she has no idea. The thing is, she's talking about, do I pull the green or red? You can't see this. You're just fucking playing around with your goddamn hair in this thing. She ends up pulling the right wire. I'm like, she is not competent. She is lucky. That's all
she is. She's very lucky. But again, it's one of those, this is supposed to be, you know, something that it makes her think that she belongs, but you go, the rest of the team minus Batman are going, they're at the UN and they're trying to tell people, you know, trying to explain and beg for the team to remain, and they just go, and the UN's like, we're out.
That's the weirdest part too, because you'd think you'd have like a Diva here and freaking Rocket Red you know, August General and Iron and freaking Booster, but the only team you actually get that goes to the UN to plead their case of why the team should continue is Booster, Fire, and Vixen. I'm like, that's weird. Is it because we don't have anything for them to do?
Yeah, it's very weird that it's just them, you know, and you get maybe they called Booster because he's the leader, and then the other, you know, Vixen and Fire went to kind of support him, but still, it's basically Booster telling them, you know what, we deserve to be a team. It does throw out, the one thing that I did like, does throw out, you don't like us? I'll fucking, this team's going to go on its own. That's not what you want. And they do throw the Justice League in again. And he's like, no. You know, the Justice League, you already said you couldn't control them. And that's where Godiva and August then show up. They bust in. It's like, they stop. This is the most important thing that they are going to do. And they stop to sit and talk and have a hot dog. And they go, and even Booster, it's weird because earlier Batman did say when they got those guys that blew up the Hall of Justice, he said, this will help you down the line. Basically, it's just his word. You know what I mean? And even to the point where he starts talking about the future, and the Russian says, you know, I think he's lying anyway. There's no such thing as time travel. And
silly,
they're going, and they look like they're going to vote because the Chinese delegate, she seems to really... she was like
she's
worst
the
at the beginning.
Yeah.
She was like really like, this is bullshit. We're not going to do it. But then when August shows up, he shows up at the last second and says, listen, you trust me. You know, I have led a lot of people. I didn't want to be part of this team. You know, I went to just go and see, but I see the potential. I see that this thing is better. And people are going around and we just stopped the bombing attack. People are bombing the UN. They're trying to do this. We need this team. And she does agree. She's the linchpin. Like you said, and she agrees, and then you have a big giant celebration.
We go weeks later,
and you have the celebration where they're going to announce this team, and they're at the UN, and it's going to be the UN sponsored team. They come down with this crazy, you know, the big splash page of the team. Hey, and you still, I like the fact that Guy seems to respect Booster a little. They're still talking trash, though, right? And it's funny. They come out of this thing running. It's like the beginning of a football game. Fucking,
I mean, they are
coming out fucking running, and it looks like where August is running out, he's going to run out of stage. He's about to fall over onto the crowd.
He's got too much momentum going.
He does. He has way too much. But in the meantime, somebody's watching. This whole thing, when you get to the green, you know, the visor thing of somebody watching, you know shit is in trouble, and they say, stand by, they're almost in position. They are waiting for the team to come out, And then they blow shit up. They basically
blow the stage up.
Yeah, Booster's there like, hey, this is the best day ever. But boom, the whole thing blows up. And you see one guy, you see a couple people's legs.
Some
and the
legs.
Thing is, it's funny because I actually was wondering, because you do have this whole setup. You know, they're there at the UN. I couldn't remember what happened from here. And I actually thought that this was going to be a cliffhanger that was actually a, you know, a bait and switch, that where this explosion was somewhere on the planet that they were going to blame the jail. You know what I mean? Blame mm-hmm. the JLI or whatever. And when he says at the end, there's an explosion, this ominous figure says, well done. The JLI is dead and buried. I thought that the whole thing was going to be the next issue. You'd open it up. They'd still be talking and then find out there was this big thing.
They're
and it
buried
would
be, in bad
and
press.
I'm telling you, it would have been like one of those, look at them accepting fucking praise and pats on the back while the rest of the world is getting blown up or whatever. No, no, no. It's them. The UN building. I went to the next deal that starts the next trade. Yeah, yeah, they're fucked up. They were caught in that explosion and everything's falling down on them. So that is the end, though, and it does set up the next arc, which is the final arc. There's only two story arcs in this whole run. Right. And the thing is, it's okay. This is not the best volume that we're going to be doing. There are worse. There are a lot worse when we go forward with this, and we're doing them all, you know, eventually when we're 130, we'll end it. But I just want it more. And it seems Dan Jurgens has this team, and I really don't know that he had an idea of exactly what he wanted to do with every member of the team. Like you said, Fire does nothing for six issues. She
well,
really
it's like
doesn't
Brian
do Hitch anything.
Right in the Justice League right now. He does not have like things for all the members to do. So a lot of people are just standing around doing nothing or omitted completely.
And again, I think it's a shame because I do like the idea of this team. I do like the team enough that you could have had, you put Blue Beetle on, I think it would have been more interesting. You put Green Arrow that they said, Plastic Man would have been hilarious. You put those. It seems like I would have rather have had Dan Jurgens just be allowed to do a Booster Gold book. That probably would have been the best thing because this is a Booster-centric thing, but it's just not enough to me. I think the best character – I don't know. I really actually liked Rocket Red and August General and Iron.
Those are my favorite characters.
Yeah, I think Guy was okay, but again, it was like he had to be – kept separate because it just is odd. And
well, even
with
that, I'm telling you, you get Guy Gardner and the Green Lantern Corps book at the same time going on. So you get Guy someplace else. So this is like, you know, a lesser guy because all he's doing is bitching about Booster Gold.
Yeah, he's just bitching and moaning
and
about
so,
Booster
like,
Gold.
I throw him right out when I'm thinking about this team completely because his inclusion here, I'm like, I can get him somewhere else and he'll be
that
better
is true.
There.
And it's funny because it's a shame because, again, the New 52 started. Hal wasn't a Green Lantern, but he was in the Green Lantern book with Sinestro.
Yeah.
You had a New Guardians book with Kyle. You had the core book with John and Guy where the deal. You don't have – it's a shame at this point that they didn't have a Simon Bass or a Jessica Cruz or you know something like that because who else would you throw in? They want to have a Green Lantern.
Oh, you need a Green Lantern, yeah.
And so they throw Guy. It's a shame there wasn't
one other.
And Guy's
a legacy character to the JLI.
Yeah, yeah.
So
oh, he is
sense.
To the JLI. It would have been funny though. Say they had Simon Bass. This is when they introduced him, and he was this new recruit, and they grabbed him. How pissed Guy would have been then that he was – you know what I mean? You could
well,
you
they,
still
they
would have
did
had
that
Guy.
With the JLA, and Guy didn't even know about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just you have Guy, and like you said, you get better Guy in the core book. If you had Kyle, it wouldn't have made sense. So you have
Kyle
Guy there,
some shit.
But he's just pissed at Booster. You have Vixen, which was cool, but you don't get enough of her. You really don't
she
get
doesn't
enough.
Do a goddamn thing.
Yeah, that's
ice
the thing. You
fire.
Don't get enough.
Like,
you get more
–
yeah,
just cannon fodder.
Yeah, you get more of Batman, and then he kind of fades away a bit too. You know what
and
I mean?
All,
it's just,
all Batman's really doing is he's being a booster for Booster to tell
yeah,
him
that's
leave
all he
this
is.
Team,
yeah.
And I'll be here to make sure that they you don't.
Yeah, he's that, basically
like,
Booster's mentor slash cheerleader.
PR agent.
To keep telling him to keep keep going, buddy, keep going. But yeah, it really. It seemed to me like a missed opportunity, and
it's
maybe
very odd for knowing how like how much Batman it doesn't really like Hal Jordan because he's a fucking blowhard. He does his own thing. Booster, in my mind, is like that, just sillier and too. And the whole thing where he has all this like I can't even think of the word. He's
bravado.
All about Booster. No, I'm saying the fact that
Batman.
All about Booster.
Yeah, and that's the thing
it's very
too.
Odd, and
is
he
this
knows
is
he can do this.
And this is
but we
the
don't
new
have
52.
To back it up.
Yeah, and you don't even know, like you said, you don't even know the history that he would have had with Booster before there, where he has such a level of respect for him and think that basically he's like an untapped potential guy that, oh, he'll do this and that. It is very odd how they throw that in. And that's really, like, most of the books, like, you have JLA now with Steve Orlando, and Batman's on that team pretty much to sell the book, right? Yeah. It's not like, and he is the, this is just weird that he's thrown in there just to be that guy to kind of,
especially since they started the book off saying we can't have someone like Batman on
this team. That's what I mean.
Team.
And it's almost like they want you to think that Batman's only there so that the other part of the team, the other team members will respect Booster, though they don't seem to like Batman either. So it's very odd. But what would you give it in general if we were going to rate this whole six-issue arc?
As a six-issue arc, I really like the art in the series, and I really like the fact, the chance that we got to see these, like, these minor characters. Like, we just started a whole brand new universe. A shit ton of books are out there, and, like, you know, even weird ones where you do have minor characters,
yeah,
but not everybody's going to get a chance to play. So I like the idea of having this book where you get to see these characters, like August General and Irons and Red, yeah. Rocket
even
Red.
Even Fire and Ice.
Exactly, but yeah. Rocket Red and, like, August, they became my favorite characters in this, yeah, book, and that's really cool to me. But the Signal Master story was very weak. You did not get a full idea, no, of what was going on and why. And it just ended very, like, anticlimactically. So all in all, I think I'd have to give this first arc a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to be with you with a 6. And like you said, it's one of those that I think Dan Jurgens went a little too big for this first thing, basically because they're forming this team. That kind of seems like the team for the people, the, yeah, team for this. And then immediately there is a world-ending event that they have to stop, and it seemed kind of silly that other heroes weren't involved, yeah, the regular Justice League, anybody, every hero.
And that would have made things even
here.
More interesting, the fact that you have the Justice League, you know, kind of butting heads with this new Justice, yeah, League. I'm like, this would make it even more interesting story, but we didn't
and
go
again,
there.
If we're going to go with what we're getting right now in Rebirth, it's the same thing that I kind of had the problem with the JLA. When, right, all of a sudden they're getting attacked by the extremists who are from another multiverse. And it was too much too soon. I like the idea they were thrown into the fire and that the team had to come together during this, but it just seemed too much. It was too big an event for this to start off. And really, I say that, and it's only because we're told that, because, like, yeah, you said, we don't know enough about the Signal Masters, about Paraxis. He's just there to mine stuff and then disappears and things like that. It just was a little silly, but I did like the art. And I do like seeing the members of the team, like
Me
you
as
said.
Well.
I like seeing Fire and Ice.
I just wish they had more to do.
Yeah, and you had, like, Fire and Ice are also kind of JLI legacy
members,
characters,
yeah,
so you do have this. I like seeing Vixen, but even she didn't get enough to do, and her whole thing was not really spelled out enough, her power set and things like that, so I'd give it a 6. But that's the end of that, Eric. And the next one we're going to do is actually probably one of the most respected and well-liked stories in the whole New 52. So the next one we're doing is actually the Court of the Owls, Batman Court of the Owls, the volume one, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. And really, when people look back and talk about the New 52, I know that you say the Justice League, you know, when you think back of the book, but really Batman as well. And when the New 52 started, the Justice League was killing in sales, and then Batman just overtook it. And I think that Scott Snyder did a really good job starting out with the Court of the Owls, because people still are going on and on about it. It's still affecting the continuity of Rebirth. You know, the Court of the Owls keeps popping up over and over again. So I'm looking forward.
We had the Parliament of the Owls for the first Dark
Knight.
Yeah,
yeah, of Nightwing. And I am looking forward to going back. Now, that is something that I've read a bunch of times. This Justice League International, I actually think that I bailed after like 4 issues. I didn't remember how it ended. And then I think that I picked up with the last couple issues in that annual because,
right,
you told me, you know, how good it was and how important it was. But yeah, the Batman run, I've read all the issues and all that, so we'll be getting into that. We'll be doing that next. And anything else to say at the end here, Eric?
No, I don't think I have anything. I think we covered pretty much everything we had to do with the JLI.
All right, so that is it. I hope everybody enjoyed it, and I hope, you know, some people might actually check out the JLI. It's worth checking out. It's
okay to check out. It doesn't affect anything going forward for any other continuity besides for the stuff going forward for the events dealing with Booster Gold at the end of the series. But since we didn't even get to that, you know, we're only dealing with the first six issues here. It's really inconsequential at this point.
Yeah, I agree. But that is it, and we'll see you next time.